It was easy, really. Almost too easy. We all sat in the district attorney's office telling our story. Yes, sir. We saw Shep pick up the gun. Yes, sir. We were scared to admit it when we were first questioned. Yes, sir. We're sorry for not coming forward earlier. Easy.
28. December 3rd, 11:53 a.m. Shep. If I don't get out of this house soon, I'm going to lose my mind. The last week and a half has been torture. Thanksgiving break was depressing. Without school or work, I barely left the house. When we came back from break, I lost my work pass since I lost my job. So until I can find another one, I'm stuck at school until 3. And because I don't have any classes scheduled in the afternoon, I spend most of my time in the media arts room. I've edited all the images taken over the last several weeks. The website is up to date. The paper is ready a full day before it's due, and I've worked on all the ads that have been turned in for the yearbook. At home, Mom is watching me like a hawk, and Shep's parents have put him on lockdown after a blurry pic of him flipping the bird in the park found its way onto the news. There was no question who took it. One of those moms was happy to be interviewed about the entire event. Luckily, I didn't make it into the shot. But Shep's new lawyer suggested it would be better for him to lie low for a while, so now he's being homeschooled. We still talk on the phone, but I haven't been brave enough to try to sneak over there at night. I don't want him to get in any more trouble than he's already in. I've never felt so bored or useless in my life. Glancing at the clock, I see there's still another hour to go before the final bell rings. God, it's been a long day. I pull out my phone and open the gallery, scrolling back until I get to the picture I took of Shep Halloween night at the football game. This is my favorite image of him. I flip to the next picture and stare at the screenshot I took of Shep's post that shows Grant and Henry passed out on that chair at River Point. I laugh again when I read the caption, but then my brain snags on something, but I can't focus in on it. What is it? Opening up my laptop, I scroll through the pictures until I get to the ones of the back patio at River Point I took the day I visited the scene. The furniture is an eclectic mix that somehow makes sense. A few rocking chairs next to an iron table and chairs, and even a few pieces with fabric cushions. But there seems to be a space in the center of the area, like something is missing. Where's the chair? Holding my phone up next to my laptop screen, I see where the chair used to be, but it's gone. I stare at the picture of Grant and Henry in the chair. There's something else, something familiar. The chair is wide enough for both of them to fit comfortably side by side and still have a little extra room. And they are reclined back somewhat, not all the way, but enough. There's something there, but I can't put my finger on it. And then I zoom in closer. I feel like what I'm looking for is just out of reach, like when you have something on the tip of your tongue, but you can't say it. What is it? And then it hits me. Holy shit! I scream, and a few people on the other side of the room look at me. Sorry, I call out. I look back at the screen, minimizing the image, then pulling up every social media account until I find that photo that keeps getting reposted. When the picture of the girls pops up on screen, I can't stop myself from cringing. This is why the one of Grant and Henry was so familiar. I zoom in quickly, focusing on the corner of the picture that caught Reagan's eye the first time we looked at it. The small swirl-like design. It matches the design on the chair in Shep's picture. But it's more than that. Even though the picture of the girls is taken from a different angle, the size of the chair and the way it reclines back matches the one the boys are on. This is where the girls were when this picture was taken. They were at River Point. I zoom back out on both images and put them side by side, even though it's really hard to look at the one of the girls. But I'm trying to figure out how it was taken. I'm assuming Shep was standing when he took the one of the boys, but the angle of the one with the girls is totally different. It was taken from a higher angle, like that camera was looking down on the scene. But how? By the time I'm walking to Mom's car after school, I'm drained. Reagan calls just as I'm about to pull out of the lot. She's been keeping me up to date ever since I got unofficially banned from the courthouse. What's going on? I say when I answer. She's quiet for just a second. They're offering Shep a deal. Ever since the others turned on him, I knew this was coming. What's the deal? Instead of second-degree murder, he'll get manslaughter with a cap of 20 years in prison. I hit the steering wheel so hard it hurts my hand. When does he enter his guilty plea? I ask. Tomorrow, at 9. Everyone wants this over and done with. I gotta go, I say, and end the call. Banned or not, I need to talk to Stone. I'm a few blocks from the courthouse when I see the protesters. I have to give them credit for sticking with their cause. The local reporters have been all over John Michael's dad the last week since there's been a lull in the River Point case. I've enjoyed watching him squirm when they ambush him with questions. And then I see her. Pulling Mom's car over, I watch her. The girl who attacked Grant in that video. The same girl Henry was with at the St. Jude's barbecue. She's walking toward the same coffee shop she was coming out of the other day, wearing the same t-shirt with the shop's logo. School just got out, so she must be headed into work. Her arms are wrapped tightly across her chest, her eyes scanning up and down the street. And I look at her face. Really look at it. Oh, God, I say quietly to myself. I pull my laptop out of my bag. Still frozen on the screen are the side-by-side images of the picture of the girls and the picture of Henry and Grant. The girl on the right is Bree, but the girl in the middle of the picture is walking down the street in front of me. And she was at River Point the night before Grant was shot. And she was mad at him. And Henry pulled her away. And Henry told Grant, "You better hope you didn't do what I think you did." Change of plans. She's half a block away when I pull Mom's car to the side and jump out. I catch her just before she goes inside. "Excuse me?" "Yes." "Hi, I'm Kate Marino, and I'll work for the district attorney's office. Can I ask you a couple of questions?" She hugs herself tighter and squints her eyes at me. "What do you want?" "We're handling the River Point case and going over some of the evidence we found in a video from the party the night before. You were in it. You were really angry with Grant Perkins, and Henry Carlisle had to intervene. Can you tell me what was going on?" She shifts back and leans against the side of the building, scanning up and down the street before turning back to me. She drops her backpack on the ground beside her. "You're here to question me about this? You're basically my age. I call bullshit."
"Was not expecting that."
"I'll work for the assistant. Look, I'm sure you know who I am. I'm sure you've seen the pictures. Everyone has seen those pictures. And that's why you were angry at Grant," I say. "The pictures, right?" She crosses her arms in front of her again and stares at me to the point of being awkward. "What are you trying to do?" she asks, her eyes narrowing on me. "I'm trying to figure out what happened at River Point that morning, and the night before. Why were you so mad at him?" I don't think she's going to answer until she says, "Grant said something to me at the football game earlier. Something that, when I thought about exactly what he said later on, made me believe he was the one who took that picture." "What did he say?" Her cheeks go pink. "Let's just say he mentioned something that even those who have seen the pictures wouldn't know." I nod and swallow hard, trying not to let my imagination run away with me. "So I went there to confront him. Of course, he denied it. But I know it was him by the way he smirked at me." "Great. She knows it was him but has no proof of it." I can see her getting impatient. And we noticed Henry came to your rescue.
She leans forward and says, yeah, because he's not a dick like the rest of them.
But it's more than that, isn't it? I mean, the way he is with you. It's obvious in the way he touches you, looks at you. He cares for you, and you care for him.
She tucks her lips together, her mouth forming a straight line.
I can see I've thrown her.
Henry was as angry with Grant as you were. Did he realize Grant took that picture of you and the others? What did Henry say to you that night?
She dips her head.
What Henry said to me is none of your business. I gnaw on my bottom lip, trying to think of anything else I can ask her.
Why don't you go to the police and tell them you suspect Grant took those pictures?
She looks at me like I'm stupid. Why would I? He's dead, and I'm not sorry he is. I just wish I could have been the one to blow him away.
I'm momentarily speechless. But I have to get to the bottom of this.
So who was? Was it Henry? I whisper.
She swings her backpack up, nearly hitting me with it.
Do you know how many people act outraged over what happened to us, then turn around and say that we probably knew what was happening or that we did something to deserve it?
I shake my head. She's trembling. She's so angry.
Hardly anyone tried to figure out who did this to us. Most just talked about us. How we looked naked, how we were touching each other, how we probably liked it.
She takes a deep breath and says,
if Henry did it, then he was the only one with the guts to actually do something about it.
I keep telling them it's almost over. Everything will be back to normal soon. I glance at the picture again, my daily reminder. But there's still one loose end, a mystery to be solved, one that I may never be able to figure out, one that Grant took to his grave.
29. December 3rd, 3:29 p.m. Private number. Need to talk to you. Urgent. My phone rings instantly.
I guess you heard, he says when I answer. I'm still at my lawyer's office, looking over everything, trying to make a decision.
He sounds broken. Taking a deep breath, I say, I may have found something. I'm not sure.
What did you find?
Suddenly, there's hope in his voice. I tell him about noticing the chair in his post was missing from the back patio, and how it's the same chair in the picture with the girls. Then I tell him about the video from the party and the girl on the street with Henry and John Michael.
Lori, she was one of the girls in that picture. Henry has had a thing for her for years, Shep says. He was furious when those pictures came out.
But I thought they were part of the prank war. Those girls are seniors, so why would Grant have done that?
Grant probably thought it was the perfect way to get the juniors in trouble. Prank them by making everybody think they were the ones taking things too far. He was twisted like that.
Was Henry furious enough to kill Grant if he thought he was the one who took it? I ask.
Hell, I don't know.
But just knowing this is an option could be enough, right? I talked to her.
Lori? What did she say?
She wouldn't come out and say it, but it sounds like she thinks Henry did it. Maybe if your lawyer questioned her, or something.
Maybe this will be enough, he says, but I can hear the anxiety in his voice. And Kate, thanks for this.
This isn't over, I say.
I'll call you later.
It's really late when Shep calls.
Want to go for a ride?
I don't hesitate a second. Where do I meet you? This may be our last night. If he accepts the deal tomorrow, he'll be immediately taken into custody. I haven't talked to him since this afternoon, and I'm dying to find out what his lawyer thinks about Lori.
I'll pick you up.
I'll be waiting out front. I don't care if one of the others is watching us. I already lost my job. He could possibly be losing his freedom tomorrow. Whoever shot Grant is getting what they want. I hop into the Jeep the second he stops.
he says quietly. I'm really glad you're here. He pulls me in and gives me a quick kiss. It happened so fast, I don't think I even kissed him back. The top is still off, and it's a little cold outside. Shep reaches behind him and pulls out a thick blanket. Here, this should keep you warm. I bundle up and recline my seat back so I can look at the sky overhead. It isn't long before I pull a ponytail holder out of my bag to get my hair out of my face. We leave town, driving down a narrow road with empty fields on both sides until we stop at a side road that's blocked by a gate. Just have to open it, Shep says, then jumps out. I sit up a little straighter, trying to get my bearings, but I have no idea where we are. Shep hops back in the Jeep and pulls through. He leans closer and says, My dad brought me here a few days ago. His company just leased this land for oil and gas exploration, and the owners live out of state. I knew no one would be here. We drive down a gravel road for a mile or two, then stop at the edge of a small pond. Shep turns the Jeep off, and the quietness of the night settles around us. The full moon shines down across the water, chasing away the darkness. My lawyer and I went to see Lori at work. He thought there might be a better chance that she would talk to me, since we were friends. I turned my head to the side. What did she say? She said she called the district attorney's office after you left, and they told her you'd been fired. She reported you for harassing her. She also denied everything, said she has no idea who shot Grant, but there was no way Henry could have done it. Said you were making it all up so I wouldn't be in trouble.
What? I didn't make any of it up. She's the one who's lying.
He laces his fingers through mine. I know. But there's no way she's going against Henry. Lori is a dead end. I throw the blanket off me. I'm so pissed.
I can't believe she reported me.
Whatever credibility I had with Stone is completely gone now.
Why do I always make things worse? What did your lawyer say?
He strongly suggested I take the deal. He's looked into Logan and the missing watch and ring and those two guys. Dead end. Henry and Lori are a dead end. John Michael and his drug deals are a dead end.
What about Lindsay? We know she's lying.
Yeah, but the other three are taking a deal in exchange for swearing under oath that they saw me with the Remington that morning. That only makes her testimony that much stronger. If this goes to trial and the jury finds me guilty, I'll get life.
It feels like my heart drops right into my stomach. I lace my fingers through his. So what are you going to do?
I don't want to take the deal, but I'm afraid to risk life in prison.
He bangs his head against the back of his seat.
Hell, even after 20 years, my life would be basically over.
You can't give up. You have to try, I say.
Shep turns sideways in his seat so he's facing me and pulls his hand away from mine.
Try what? This isn't a game, Kate. I'm out of time. My deal is good for 24 hours. I know you're trying to help, but every lead we have is a dead end. I'm not giving up. I'm trying to figure out how to salvage a small piece of my life. If we had something, anything, I'd be the first one fighting. But we have nothing.
I brush away a tear that's sliding down my cheek.
I'm with you through this, no matter what.
He's shaking his head.
No, you're not. Think about it, Kate. My life is over. What, are you going to stick by me for 20 years? Wait until I'm out of prison?
So this is goodbye? You brought me out here to say goodbye?
The tears are flowing now, and I don't try to stop them. He pulls me close, his hands framing my face.
Don't cry. Please don't cry. I don't know what else to do. I'm scared, and I'm mad. My life is ruined. There's no reason for yours to be, too. I'm sinking, drowning. I don't want to talk about this case anymore, or what will happen tomorrow. This is our last time alone together. Can we stay here a little while? He asks. I'll stay as long as you'll have me, I answer.
It only takes about 20 minutes to get to River Point. My hands are shaking as I pull into the familiar driveway. It's early, the sun is barely up, and it wasn't that long ago that Shep dropped me at home. I haven't slept, because I can't get past the idea that there's something else I'm missing. And I refuse to believe every lead is a dead end. I know the picture was taken here, and I know Grant was the one who took it. There's something really off about that picture of those girls and the angle, and I have to try to figure it out. What if I'm wrong in thinking they wouldn't be here since they're all due in court in just a few hours? What if someone is here? There are a few vehicles in the carport, but they seem like the kind that stay here all the time. I pull in close to the house, but then go ahead and turn the car around. At least if I have to bolt, the car is pointed in the right direction, ready to go. I grab my camera from my bag on the passenger seat and walk toward the house just as my phone beeps. It's a text from Shep. I'm sorry I was angry last night. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for fighting for me. You deserve someone who can be there for you in every way. More than anything, I wish it could be me. His words energize me. Now, more than ever, I'm determined to find a way to clear his name. I duck when I pass in front of a window, although I'm pretty sure no one is here. It only takes a few moments to get to the back of the house. And there is the empty space where the chair used to be, according to Shep's post. I pull another chair to this spot as a placeholder, then set my laptop on a nearby table, open to both pictures. I take a shot of it and compare it to Shep's. Shep is several inches taller than me, but basically, we have the same angle. Then I hold it above my head and point the lens down toward the chair and compare the angle again. Direction is right, but the camera's not high enough. Grabbing a chair, I scoot it across the patio until I get it where I want it. Once I'm standing in the seat of the chair, I fire off another shot. It's close, still not high enough. But why would Grant be standing on a chair? I turn around and look at what's behind me. There's a low brick wall separating the patio from the woods. There are several trees on the other side of the wall. I search the trees through the lens, zooming in for a closer look. There doesn't seem to be anything unusual. Just some trees, bare limbs, a few birds, an outdoor spotlight pointed toward the patio, and an old weathered birdhouse. And then I zoom in a tad closer on the birdhouse. There's something inside the hole, something shiny. I jump down and drag the chair to the edge of the patio, using it so I can climb up on the wall. When I'm right in front of the birdhouse, I turn around carefully and snap a picture of the chair the girls were on. It's almost a perfect match. Turning back to the birdhouse, I find a hinge on one side. A hinge on one side means the front must open. It's not hard to find the latch when you know what you're looking at. When the front of the birdhouse swings open, I almost fall off the wall. There's a camera inside, one very similar to the wildlife cameras Mr. Flores has scattered throughout his property. But this one is different. I take a picture of it, making sure the make and model are in focus. I glance at the light right above the birdhouse. It's brilliant. If the lights are on, even at night, you would be able to get a usable photo. From what Mr. Stone found out about the other wildlife cameras here, I know that if I open it, there will be a media card inside. But I'm afraid to touch it. I don't want my prints to show up here and give Stone any reason to throw out this evidence. I wish I had a glove or anything to put over my hand so I can open it up. I could grab my laptop from the car and load the images directly onto it. My sock. It's gross, but it will do the job. I sit on the wall and remove my shoe, then my sock, putting it over my right hand. I rub off the latch, hopefully removing any fingerprints I put there. It's not hard to get the camera open. I hit a small button on the side, and the front pops open. There is the lens, the batteries, but not much else. Where's the card?
I fool around with the camera until I'm completely frustrated. How can there not be a media card? But there is the name of a website printed just inside the door, along with a camera number and password. I take a picture of it and hop down, moving all of the furniture back to its original place. I check my watch and realize I've been here too long. Once everything is back the way I found it, I jump in the car and speed away from River Point. I dial Reagan's number, and it takes several rings for her to answer. Help! I shout into the phone. I need you. I'm scared about what I'm going to find, and scared about what I won't. I need her with me when I look at the images from that camera. What is it? I can picture her sitting up in bed, her black hair sticking out in every direction. I just did something crazy. What did you do, Kate? I give her the short and dirty version, and she gasps about every other sentence. Oh my God, Kate, you have to go to Stone and tell him about the camera. I've tried to talk to him. He won't listen to anything I have to say. I need to see what pictures are on there, and I need to do it quickly. Can you meet me at the Media Arts Room? I'm hoping I can log on to the site there and check out how to view them. Yes! Holy crap! I'll meet you there. I end the call and drive to school like a crazy person. By the time I get parked and inside the Media Arts Room, I get a text that Reagan is pulling in too. When she walks through the door minutes later, I've never been so happy to see my best friend. I can't get the website up fast enough. Okay, so what's it say? She asks when she sits in the chair next to me. The website for the wildlife cam boasts of the camera's remote viewing capabilities and ease of use, enabling all members of a hunting lease to view images anytime from anywhere. It looks like all I need to do is log into that camera using the ID and password I found inside the door. I enter all the information and wait while the site processes it. I feel like I'm going to pass out. What if there isn't anything there? What if this is a dead end, too? And then the images start filling the screen. There are thousands of them. The camera settings are on the dashboard at the top of the screen, and the camera is set to go off when there is movement. One picture every 10 seconds until there is no movement for 5 minutes. It uploads through the Wi-Fi at River Point. It's going to take forever to go through these, I say. I glance at the clock. It's almost 7:30. The morning is flying by. Well, maybe not, Reagan says. Look, you can filter by date. What date was Grant shot? We can look for whoever went hunting with that rifle. October 5th, I answer. I thought about that, but they all said they left through the garage to go hunting. That's on the other side of the house. I'm trying to see if there are pictures of Grant and those three girls. Reagan scoots me out of the way and sits down at the computer. We got the first complaints about those pictures around the 1st of October. So let's look at the weekend before that, all the way until the morning he was killed. She clicks the filter by date button and puts in September 27th through October 5th. It takes a second for the screen to load. Once the pictures are there, we start browsing. Lots of party shots, and I was right about the spotlight. Even at night, everyone in the images is fully illuminated. We scroll through until we're at Saturday night, the week before the game. There are tons of people there, including all of the River Point boys. My heart skips every time Shep is in one of the frames. It's not until much later, after most people have left the party, that you see the girls. They are clearly drunk or drugged, stumbling around and falling on the ground. Grant leads them to the chair, and then he starts removing their clothing. It's choppy seeing everything happen in 10-second intervals, but it's easy to get the gist of what was happening. When he gets them just like he wants them, he steps back and lets the camera take over. There are several shots of just the girls, and then he's back, dressing them and leading them back inside. Ugh, it's so disgusting. They had no idea, Reagan says. I feel sick. I keep flipping forward, hoping like hell there is something else here. Something that can help Shep, because at this point,
I hate that anyone gets in trouble for killing Grant.
We scroll through Sunday, then Monday, with little activity until we get to Tuesday afternoon.
Wait, what is this? I ask.
It's two men, their backs to the camera, as if they are looking out into the woods. The next shot, they're sitting down at the iron table and chairs, a briefcase between them.
It's Gaines, Reagan says.
And John Michael's dad, I add.
10 seconds later, the briefcase is open and it's full of cash. Nice, neatly bundled piles of it.
What's this about? I ask.
Reagan leans closer to the screen.
No.
No, no, no.
It's clearly a payoff.
We've had complaint after complaint come through Morrison's office about Flores and his construction company overcharging the city for those renovations downtown.
I guess this is why Gaines hasn't done anything about it, she says.
This has been on the news a lot. Reporters keep showing up at his office asking him about it.
I continue to scroll through the images.
And this is what those people are protesting every day.
Reagan leans closer to me and says,
Yes.
I'm nodding and checking the clock every few seconds.
Wait. Grant told John Michael, Don't forget, I've got the trump card. Do you think he was talking about having dirt on his dad and the DA?
This is some serious dirt. I'm afraid to see what's next, Reagan says.
At least we know why Gaines was so eager to help the River Point boys, I say.
I'm confident now, because even if there isn't anything else, this may be enough to cast immediate doubt on the case against Shep.
Not much else until we get to the party the night before Grant is killed. It's like catching a glimpse into everything I heard about that night. Shep and Grant fighting over me. Logan and Grant getting cornered by the bookies. The girl, Lori, showing up, mad at Grant. And Grant and Henry getting into it. And then the early morning hours with them around the fire. It is just as Shep described it. They all get up just as the sun is rising, and they head into the house.
I guess that's it. They went in to get their stuff to go hunting, Reagan says.
I keep clicking through, knowing there's probably not much more to see, until all of a sudden, someone returns to the patio. Checking the timestamp, I see it's about 6 minutes after they all left. It looks like he's running back into the house. Then he comes quickly out again, carrying the Remington. His face is framed perfectly in the image, his hand on the gun. It's John Michael Flores.
We walk up the steps to the courthouse, ready to enter our pleas and make everything official. Dad shakes Mr. Gaines's hand when he meets us at the door, and they speak quietly to one another. I haven't told Dad about the picture yet, but I will. I'm going to use it to my advantage, just like Grant was going to use it to his. I peek at the image hidden in my coat pocket. I've looked at it every day since Grant handed it to me at the party and said, it sure would suck if this made it out into the world. I still haven't figured out how he got this. I've been to River Point a dozen times, searching for some hidden camera or something. Grant would have milked this for all he could, for as long as he could, although I don't know what more I could have given him. But he crossed the line that night, with me and everyone else. It was time for Grant to go. And now it seems like it's Shep's time, too.
30.
I pick up the phone to call Mr. Stone. He's got to know what we have. The call goes to voicemail. I try Mom and then Shep, and it does the same.
Shit! They're probably already down in the courtroom getting ready.
Because of the problems with Stone's sight, he likes to get in there early so Mom can help orient him in the room. Reagan stands up so quickly her chair almost falls over.
We'll just let the pictures speak for themselves. The control room for the audio-visual stuff is in the office next to the courtroom they're going to be in. We sneak in there and hook up your laptop and let the images play. We need to make sure Gaines can't bury the part he played in this. Let's take the shot of him and Flores with the money and let everyone see it. We'll let our paper break the story on the corruption that's happening downtown, I add. Are you okay with that? Reagan drops down at the desk. Just give me a minute. My parents will be pissed, but you're right. He's corrupt and everyone should know it. She starts dragging images around. I'm choosing the images we need to tell this story. I'm putting a 10-second delay at the front, so we'll either have time to get inside the courtroom and watch the show, or run like hell away from there. Your choice. I'll write the story for the paper, with the shots of Flores and Gaines in the car on the way. What about the one with John Michael with the rifle? Want that one in the piece? If we're going to do this, go out in the open with it. We should do it right. I think about those threatening pictures he sent Shep and me. I think about how willing he was for Shep to go down for this in his place. I think about how Shep thought of him as a friend. Let everyone see that one, too. Regan burns a copy onto a flash drive while I throw my laptop back in my bag. I stop mid-motion and turn to her. I can't thank you enough for this. Regan pushes me toward the door. We'll hug it out later. You should stay here. I'll probably get in a lot of trouble. There's no need to go down with me, I say to her. She laughs as she jumps in the passenger seat. I wouldn't miss this for anything. It's straight up 9 o'clock when we pull into the parking lot. We run like something is chasing us. We run like Shep's freedom depends on us. Curious stares and startled cries follow us as we barrel down the hall. A quick glance through the window of the courtroom door lets us know everyone is inside. We cut into the office next to the courtroom and open the side cabinet that houses the controls for the courtroom. We nearly drop the laptop in our haste to get everything plugged in. My hand hovers over the control pad. Are we ready to do this? I ask. Yes, do it. I tap play, and we race out of the room, into the hallway, and throw open the double doors to the courtroom. Everyone stops what they are doing and turns around to see what the commotion is about. My eyes find Shep immediately. He's standing at the defense table with his attorney. The other River Point boys are there along with their families, since they have to put in their pleas for the deals they're making as well. They are in the gallery chairs behind the defense's table. Grant's family is sitting behind Mr. Stone, along with the team of investigators. The judge smacks her gavel, just as the screen on the right side of her starts to lower from the ceiling. Everyone's attention leaves us and goes to the screens. Everyone's except Shep's. He's worried, his forehead scrunched up, and I give him a big smile that I hope lets him know it's going to be okay. Reagan has her laptop, and the second the video starts playing, she uploads the story she just wrote to the school's online paper. Now it's time for the show. Reagan wasn't playing around when she said the pictures should speak for themselves. The room is quiet as image after image flashes across the screen. I watch the River Point boys, especially John Michael. He's antsy, glancing from the screen to us and back again. When the pictures of Grant and the girls come across the screen, you could hear a pin drop. Mr. and Mrs. Perkin drop down in their chairs, and they both start crying quietly. Then pictures of Gaines and Mr. Flores begin appearing, and the crowd visibly cringes. Mr. Flores starts screaming to turn it off, and Gaines sinks down on the bench on the side of the room, his face ashen. The pictures cycle through the party. Since most everyone in the room knows the evidence in this case, it's not hard to follow the story being played out. When the five boys head off to hunt, the room becomes silent. And then there's John Michael, back for the Remington. The slideshow ends with the frozen image of him with the gun, the picture, time and date stamped from the morning of Grant's death. John Michael sits down in the chair next to his mother, lays his head on her shoulder, and starts crying. 31. It takes a while for the judge to get control of the room. Another bailiff is dragging John Michael away from his mom as she clings to him.
The other boys are yelling at him and at each other. Grant's dad looks like he's seen a ghost. I'm sure it was hard to stomach the pictures of Grant with the girls. I hated to do that to him, but when you want the truth, you have to take the whole truth. And poor Mr. Stone, he's sitting at the prosecutor's table, his head in his hands. But Shep's face makes it all worth it. He's all smiles, relief radiating from him and his family, and they stand together, wrapped in each other's arms. His eyes find mine, and I'm overwhelmed by what I see there. The judge pounds her gavel until finally it's the only sound in the room.
"I will have order in this court," she screams.
Shep's lawyer stands in front of the judge when she gives him permission to speak. Obviously, in light of what we've witnessed here today, we will not be taking the deal offered by the prosecution. The judge looks back at Reagan and me and motions us forward. "This all started when you two entered the room." We both nod, and she slams the gavel down once more. "Bailiff, take Mr. Forez and his son into custody, please. I would like Henry Carlisle and Logan McCullough detained for questioning. I believe they were here today to swear they saw Mr. Moore with that Remington. And you," she says, pointing to the district attorney, "I'm giving you the chance to surrender yourself for questioning. I suggest you take it." Gaines looks physically ill, but manages a quick nod, then follows the bailiff out of the courtroom. The judge directs her attention back to us.
"You two come with me."
I peek quickly at Mom, who is sitting at the table with Mr. Stone. She gives me a nod of encouragement, and that's all I need. Reagan squeezes my hand, and then we follow the judge through one of the back doors to her office. She shuts the door behind me and instructs us to have a seat.
"What in the world just happened in there?"
Reagan and I look quickly at each other, and then I turn back to the judge and say, "Your Honor, like most everyone at my school, I saw that picture of those girls. And then when I was doing research for Mr. Stone, I found bits and pieces that connected Grant to that picture, but didn't put it all together until very recently. I didn't know anything about what Mr. Forez was up to until I stumbled on the images from a hidden wildlife camera at River Point. All of the images you just saw came from that camera." I pause for a moment and then say, "And I didn't think it would be a good idea to contact the district attorney's office with what I found. I just wanted to make sure the images were shown before Shep pled guilty. I just saw the pictures for the first time about an hour ago. I guess you could say I thought this was the fastest way to get the information in your hands."
"Well, you certainly accomplished that," she says.
"Is this the only place you've shared these images?" Reagan takes a deep breath and says, "As journalists, we felt it was important to make sure our readers know what happens in their community."
"You wanted to be the ones to break the story?"
the judge interrupts.
"Oh, this is going to be a nightmare to unravel."
"We just shared the images of Mr. Forez and Mr. Gaines, and the one of John Michael with the gun. We didn't want to hurt those girls any more than they have already been, so those were only shown here." The judge leans her head back against her chair.
"There's more to this that you're not telling me. Why didn't you see the pictures until this morning?"
I take a deep breath and tell her everything. About following the boys, taking pictures of them, how the camera works, and that the photos are actually stored on the manufacturer's site. She leans back in her chair and studies me.
"But I didn't corrupt any evidence," I add. "The images are all still there on the site, time and date stamped. No one would listen to me when I said Shep didn't do it, so I had to resort to drastic measures."
"Drastic measures, indeed," the judge says with a smirk on her face. "Am I in trouble?" I ask. She runs a hand through her hair.
"I think they will be dealing with the fallout of those pictures for a while, but for sure, your employment here is at an end."
I nod. No reason to tell her I was fired almost a week ago. I feel bad for Reagan, though. And you need to assume you will be called in to testify in these other matters as to how you obtained the pictures and be ready for them to tear you apart.
I nod again. At this point, as long as Shep is out of trouble, I'll do anything.
And 30 hours of community service wouldn't hurt either one of you.
We both nod and answer, "Yes, Your Honor."
"You're excused for now," she says. And we bolt from the room.
Gaines, Mr. Forez, John Michael, Henry, and Logan are gone, as are most of their families. Shep moves away from his family and meets me in the middle of the room. He pulls me in close and swings me around in a tight circle.
I cannot believe this just happened.
I told you it would all work out, I answer with a relieved sigh. He brings me back to the ground, then gives me a kiss that should embarrass me in front of my mother and his. But it doesn't. I kiss him right back.
32. December 10th, 5:15 p.m. Shep.
I'm surrounded. They're out for blood. You may have to rescue me.
A huge smile breaks out across my face. I walk into the other room, and there's Shep, with about 6 4-year-olds on top of him. He makes a loud roar sound, and the kids giggle so hard they start rolling off of him. He stands up slowly, only the most tenacious one still holding on. Shep does a monster walk across the small room, kids hanging from every limb. Mrs. Weiss comes into the room, laughing.
Shep, do you need rescuing?
Please, he says desperately.
It takes both of us to untangle the kids from Shep. But once Reagan pokes her head in and mentions the popcorn and movie already, they can't get away from us fast enough. Shep lies on the brightly colored carpet as if he's too exhausted to move.
Y'all are done for the day. I'll go tell Reagan that once she gets them settled in front of the movie that y'all can leave.
Once Mrs. Weiss leaves the room, Shep reaches up and grabs my hand, pulling me down with him.
How many more hours do we have left of this? He asks.
I don't let his words fool me. He loves this more than he'd ever let on. When Reagan and I got assigned to do our community service at Providence House, a shelter for homeless women and children, he volunteered to do the hours with us. Today was our first day, and he's already the favorite of everyone under 4 feet tall. We've got a little ways to go. I stand up, then pull his arm until he's standing. Don't get lazy on me now. You owe me a date. In the craziness that followed that day in the courtroom, we're just now getting around to having that very public date in that very expensive restaurant, flaming dessert and all. At last check, the school's online paper has had over 1 million views, and Good Morning America even interviewed us via Skype a few days after everything went down. Grant's case isn't settled yet. There are loads of motions and appeals and pleas concerning John Michael, Mr. Forez, and the district attorney, but none of that is our problem now. Shep stands up and pulls me close. It's still so scary to think how badly things could have gone.
I owe you more than a date, he says quietly.
I squeeze him tight.
You two are getting on my nerves, Reagan says.
Please,
you and Josh aren't much better. I move away from Shep, but he doesn't let me get too far. Want to go to dinner with us since Josh has practice tonight? I offer, and Shep pinches me.
So I can sit across from y'all while you make googly eyes at each other all night?
No, thanks.
See y'all tomorrow,
she says, then leaves the room. Shep and I walk hand in hand to his Jeep. Once we're inside, a text comes over his phone. Henry's name flashes across the screen.
Are you ever going to talk to him? I ask.
Sadness crosses his face.
Maybe, but not today.
Henry and Logan were able to re-enroll at St. Bart's, but Shep stayed at Marshall. They were both put on probation and have about 3 times the community service hours we do. And they've both been trying to talk to Shep for a while, but he's not ready to listen just yet. He may never be. I turn in my seat, facing him, and say, I'll make you a deal. We'll go eat at that fancy restaurant, because for some reason it's a big deal to you. But how about we get our dessert, fire and all, to go, and take it to the treehouse? His hand moves to my face and then runs through my hair. That's the best idea I've heard in a long time. I lean forward and he meets me halfway, kissing me softly on the lips. How about we get the entire meal to go and head straight to the treehouse now? I ask softly. Even better.
I watched Grant walk into the woods that morning, and then I thought about his gun. His beloved Remington that was still in the gun cabinet inside. The one I wanted to shoot him with when he first gave me that picture of Dad and Gaines. The picture he was holding over me. I sighted him in. He turned around. I was just going to scare him. I wanted him to know he'd gone too far. Then he asked me what I was doing there. Like it wasn't my right to be anywhere I wanted to be on my own damn land. He wasn't scared. He was annoyed. So I pulled the trigger. It felt better than I thought it would. I waited until I saw my friends coming from the other directions. Then I started running toward Grant, too. Everyone was freaking out. They dropped their guns, and I made sure the Remington was on the top of the pile, along with the gun Grant had. Then we surrounded Grant. They were scared and upset. But I felt things could be better between us with Grant gone, just like it used to be. There had been a lot of trouble at River Point lately, and most of it was because of Grant. He was like a cancer in our group, killing us slowly from the inside. I kept waiting for someone to point at me, accuse me of shooting him. But no one saw me with the Remington. I knew we'd all used his gun, knew our fingerprints were all over it. And since I had those pictures of the DA with the money, I knew he would make sure we didn't get in trouble. Grant wasn't the only one who could use that picture. So we made a pact in those woods. There, over Grant's body, we agreed to stand together. We say we didn't use the Remington. We say we don't know anything about it. If we all say it, none of us will be in trouble. No one knows anything. Silence was the only thing that would save us. But I was wrong. Instead of making us stronger, it pulled us even farther apart. The truth found a way. When the new district attorney asked for my statement when I pled guilty, this was my story. This concludes This Is Our Story by Ashley Elston. Narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley and Eric Michael Summerer. Copyright 2016 by Ashley Elston. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Disney Book Group, LLC, and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there, too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.